welcome again to The Harvest. It's great to see everybody on your end. I know you're seeing me, and I know that you're tuning in and looking forward to this next 30 minutes, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to spend with us, maybe over a cup of coffee. You got some folks around you watching as well. Invite your friends to be part of this. If you can text them real quick and invite them to be part of this on our Facebook Live page. So it's good to see everybody here today. I'm glad you can join us, and we're happy to have with us as our special guest on this episode of The Harvest, Joe Martin, and he's been called to the country of Gambia. And so we're going to find out a little bit more about that. So, Joe, welcome to the broadcast of The Harvest. It's great to have you.
Yes, it's Pastor. So great to be with you guys today. And I'm really ready to talk to you and to let everybody know about a nation that many people don't know about. But hopefully after this, people will know about the Gambia.
Yeah. So Gambia, where is Gambia?
The Gambia is it's the smallest country in Africa on the continent. It's about 300 miles long by about maybe 80 or 90 miles wide.
You can point to it right behind you, couldn't you?
Yeah, it's kind of right there. It's in the extreme west coast of Africa. It actually lies within the nation of Senegal. The bottom third of Senegal is the nation of the Gambia.
It's called the Gambia.
It is called the Gambia because there's another country in Africa called Zambia, and many people confuse the two. And because the country is cut in half by the Gambian River, they just call it the Gambia.
Why are you wanting, what is it about Gambia that the Lord has called you to go, of all places, to the Gambia? By the way, right now, you're not in the Gambia. You're in the States. You're in your home turf there in Northeast Ohio. But why the Gambia? What's going on?
So 6 years ago, my family and I, my wife Cindy and my two kids Matthew and Abigail, we all served as missionary associates with the Assemblies of God in the nation of Ethiopia, which is on that side of Africa, right about there on the map. Mm-hmm. We served there as missionary associates because I believed that back in 2011, the Lord had called me to be a missionary, and I was on a short-term trip in Sierra Leone, which is in West Africa. And he spoke audibly to me for the very first time, and he hasn't spoke to me audibly since. He said, the next time that you're in Africa, your family's going to be with you. And it wasn't more than a year from then that we all landed on got on a plane and landed in the nation of Ethiopia for a two-year term. It was my wife's very first missions trip. So her very first missions experience was packing her house up and moving to a place that she had never been before.
Okay, let me stop you right there. How does someone do something like that? Has she ever been out of the United States before that?
She had been to Canada and had been to like a cruise to like Cancun, Mexico and things.
Yeah, see, that doesn't count. None of that counts. That's all first world country stuff. So she's going from the comforts of, you know, living in the United States and the very first third world experience. And I'm imagining the Gambia is like a third world country. Am I right? So she's going to a third world country, no context. And here she is going into that. How did she do that?
Well, she said from the very moment that we were married, we celebrated our 20 year anniversary this year. And she said from the very beginning, she's like, Joe, I will follow you to the ends of the earth. And she has lived up to that. She has literally followed me in biblical context, you know, from Acts 8, she followed me to the ends of the earth. And she's just all in. Our family is totally all in on this. Mm. That time in Ethiopia, we had just really felt in our spirits that this was not going to be a 2 year and done for us, that this was going to be a lifelong calling to missions as a family. Mm. And we got back to the States and we went to the field as lay people. We had no ministry credentials. We had no experience in missions or ministry. We were our home church's best volunteers. And I'm sure you guys have that at your church as well.
So let me stop you there again, because now you're not lifetime missionaries. You're not career missionaries. Mm-hmm. At least you weren't. You started out coming out of high school and college, you got married, had a couple of kids. I'm assuming your kids are teenagers?
They are. My son is 16 and my daughter will be 13 next month.
Okay. So here you are bebopping along and working at a 9-to-5 job sort of thing, right? Your career, just yep. going along. You and your wife both just living your life there in Northeast Ohio. And all of us, it can't just be all of a sudden the Lord put a burden in your heart. Take us from getting married and, you know, coming out of, you know, high school and college and finding those careers and starting to have kids. And take us through that journey that brought you to the place where you said, the Gambia.
Yeah. And we're probably the most unconventional family. You know, you mentioned college. I'm currently in college right now.
Of course.
Getting my bachelor's.
Why not?
I'm getting my bachelor's from Global University. I only have a couple more classes left for my BA. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life after high school. I graduated back in 99. My wife and I are high school sweethearts. We've known each other longer than we haven't officially. And you know, what got us into missions was, it was that short-term trip in Sierra Leone that was presented to me from our local church, experienced ministry in a third world country, and the Lord speaking to me, I mean, couldn't be any more clear than, you know, what I just said about the audible voice, and actually saying yes to that, getting to Ethiopia and accepting a lifelong call, and this is what we want to do. We got back to the States here, wanted to get back immediately, but realized that because it was a lifelong call, that we needed to do some things on our side here. So we needed to get our credentialing done. We needed to get some ministerial experience, like in a church, you know. So we were brought on staff at Liberty Assembly in Girard, Ohio, with the sole intention is for the leadership and the lead pastor to get us back to the field as career missionaries.
Wow. Okay. So you're working your 9-to-5 job. You're raising yep. your kids. You got the mortgage. You got all that stuff. You know.
Yep.
You're now working at a church. You went to Sierra Leone. Is that what you said? Sierra Leone.
Yes.
And that's what put that fire in you. That's what put that burden in you. It's what yep. you felt like. Wait a minute. This is not all God has for me. I feel a change getting ready to come. The pastor of your church saw that burden, felt a connection in his spirit about that. His spirit bore witness with that. Said, "Why don't you come on board and let's work through now getting your credentials, getting you set up, and all of that." Now that took some time to do. So that sounds like so far this kind of been a long-term act of obedience here. And what you did, an important word that you said just a few minutes ago is that you said yes.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty key right there. I was just talking with someone not too long ago about this whole process of missions and walking it out. And she told me it was a series of saying yes. It wasn't just a one-time yes. It was a series of saying yeses. And it got easier to say yes as she went along, and then we kind of talked about, well, a lot of times those yeses aren't for the wonderful, happy, joyful thing. Sometimes yes means we're going to pack up and move to the Zambia, or to the Gambia, rather, and we're going to have a complete change of life. And that may be exciting, and that may be exhilarating, but then sometimes the reality sets in and says, I really miss going to McDonald's. I really miss the conveniences of home. I miss my family. I miss the comforts and what I was used to. Have you dealt with that? And if so, how do you get over that? How do you get through that? Yeah. How do you overcome that?
You know, we were called as a family. My wife always says, for such a time as this, you know, we could have been called as empty nesters. We were called, like I said, I had gotten a call in Sierra Leone. We had served 2 years in Ethiopia. And, you know, when we went to Ethiopia, our kids were, they were 8 and 5. Mm-hmm. At that point, they were kind of along for the ride.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see now with having a teenager that drives and has his own, he's processing this all as an adult. And they're not along for the ride. They have their own ministry callings in this as a family. Mm-hmm. And, you know, yeah, yes, my son's 16. My daughter's going to be 13. You know, they're going to miss Taco Bell. Let's get real. They're going to miss the conveniences of America and, you know, streaming things on, you know, either, you know, whatever streaming platform there is. I mean, they're teenagers.
Right.
But they have said, and we have said also, that, you know, we're called as a family for whatever reason that is. And we're going to be used as a family too. So, I mean, Cindy and I mean, we want to get real with viewers. I mean, Cindy and I have already looked at their lives and said that this missionary calling may not be so much for me and Cindy, but it may be for them. It's preparing them for a lifetime calling to ministry overseas. And Cindy and I we've already looked at the prospects of possibly planning weddings from overseas, and, you know, seeing, you know, sonogram pictures of our grandkids from overseas. And we've counted the cost, and it's like you said, you know, it's a series of yeses. And I believe that the Lord honors that. You know, he wants a willing vessel.
You know, Joe, that's so important. You touched on something so important. And in fact, I was thinking it, and I that's why I responded the way that I did, because I was actually thinking that when you were saying it. But I just want to maybe just drill down a little bit more on this. You know, sometimes, and this has happened in my life too, sometimes when things happen, sometimes when we move somewhere, when we experience something in our lives, it's not necessarily for us, it's for our children. My wife and I can say the same thing. Places that we've lived, churches that we've ministered at, etc. Even though at times it's been challenging for us in years past in certain ministry assignments that we've had, we see how it benefited our children and prepared them for some things. And it was really more for them than it was for us at that time. And so and maybe there's some folks watching here today too, where you're saying, okay, why am I living here in this city? I don't like it here. Why am I working at this job? Why am I living in this neighborhood? Why is this happening? And we can really get kind of more, I hate to use this word, but it's kind of like selfish and kind of like, you know, I want things to be, it's I, me, that sort of thing. But we're not really looking at the bigger picture to say, well, you know what? I do have a family. I have a spouse, I have children. And maybe this is more for God preparing them for something. Maybe it's more for them than it is for me. And so I think at that point, you step back and realize that, and then God gives you the grace, and he gives you the strength, and maybe he even gives you the perspective and the discernment to kind of help you through so that you can, and I promise you this, that if that's the case, that 5, 10, 20 years from now, should the Lord not return by then, you'll look back and say, oh, okay, I get it now. No, you may not get it now, but you'll get it 5, 10, 20 years from now. Because hindsight's always 20/20, as they say, and it's true. It really is in a lot of ways. So you'll see how it rolls out better for your kids, your spouse, or whatever the case may be, and you'll realize, okay, this whole thing, this whole life that I live, it's not about me. It's not just about me. In fact, none of it's about me. It's about the Lord through me, but it's also about people in my life that maybe are, in your words, Joe, coming along for the ride. You know, that they take ownership of it. I'm sure that you're proud of Matthew and Abigail, and you're seeing in them a heart that is becoming more mature for souls for the kingdom, and they're getting their own calling, right? It's not just mom and dad's calling anymore, but it's their own calling. That's such an important thing that I just want to make sure that we kind of hang out there. And I think there's some folks that are maybe watching that need to hear a little bit more. That needed to hear a little bit more about that. Well, what is your assignment in the Gambia? Why are you going there?
So we prayed about where to go when back in 2012 in 2019 when I was sitting in this office here, I had gotten that unction to want to start the process. We've been on staff here at the church for about 5 years. Felt like we had gotten the experience. Felt like we were ready. I was licensed at the time. I'm now ordained. I just got ordained as an ordained pastor with the AG just this past May at our network conference here in Ohio. My wife is a licensed pastor now.
And for those for those that are viewing, by the way, I just want to just emphasize what that is there's levels of study that you go through, and then you're given those titles of licensure and then ordination. Ordination is kind of like the highest level. And really what that's saying is it's that you've studied to show yourself approved. You've gone through the necessary training and study to get you fully prepared. And so I just want to just emphasize what that is so that the folks that are listening, but continue. And I'm sorry to interrupt you there, Joe.
No problem. Yeah. We had felt like we had just, we were ready to get back. And like I said, our church here brought us on staff with the intention to get us back healthy and prepared to what the Lord had called us to do. And we called our Africa office, our Africa leadership in Springfield, and said, "Hey, I think we're ready to start this process again." So we had filled out all of our applications, had went through our, I'll tell you what, you know, be a missionary. They say you have to be a little crazy, but not too crazy, right? Mm-hmm. So we went through, you know, psychological evaluations to make sure that we were there, you know,
not and, crazy.
exactly. Not too crazy. Right. And, we did all those applications. We went for our missionary training and our orientation this in 2020, in March of 2020, had gotten approved. And I said, you know what?
That sounds like right when COVID hit.
Yeah, we got approved as missionaries about 8 hours before the nation shut down.
Okay, talk to us about that. How did that? All right.
Let me talk to you about that. So, and I'll share a real moment that I have with you too. We had gotten approved by Greg Beggs and them. They said, "Congratulations, we need you in the Gambia. We need a national church established there, and we are planting an urban tribes church plant there, and we want you to be a part of that team to plant that high impact church in that urban setting." And we got approved, and then we called our pastors here and back at the church and said, "Hey, we got approved." And the very next thing he said was, "Congratulations on your way back from Springfield. Can you grab hand sanitizer and toilet paper for us?"
Mm.
We had no idea what was going on because we're in the conference missionary bubble out there in Springfield, and mm-hmm. came back to a world that was so different than what we left.
Wow.
And I'll tell you what, I had a moment with God, and I hope this can speak to some people out there too. I was just given a budget to raise and a monthly salary to raise and all these different things to fundraise our budget. You know, we as missionaries had to raise 100% of our budget. And I had a moment with God and said, "God, why have you called me to do this now when there's no one to call? There's no churches that are open. There's no one that has anything to give us. Why have you called us now?" And he just basically said, "What makes you think that you're the one raising your budget?"
Mm.
And I sat back and I said, "Okay, Lord, you got this. You've had us all the way from the time that we all said yes." And I entrusted everything to him. And I just felt like from that March of 2020 until about July of 2020, we as a family, it just felt like we just really had to sit back and let God do all the work. And so we had called churches all throughout that season and said, "Hey, we didn't say, hey, we're missionaries. You know, this is our monthly budget. What can you give to help to that?" We said, "You know, Pastor so-and-so, we understand that things are hard for you. How can we be praying for you?"
Mm-hmm.
We did that for months. And then when things started to kind of lift with different bands and different, you know, travel bands and different things closing and opening up, we started calling all those churches back, and we actually got more churches actually calling us too and saying, "Hey, Joe, you don't know how much those prayers meant for our church. I almost left the ministry over this," or "I've had a hard time with our congregation. Do we wear masks or don't wear masks? Just thank you so much for your encouragement. You don't know how much that meant." And I don't know, because of us just sitting back and letting God do the work through those couple months, those first initial months, through the Holy Spirit's power, we have been, since last July, we have been in a different church every single Sunday. We haven't had any closures. We've had one reschedule, but I actually booked another church service in that for that same Sunday. But the Lord has been good, and sadly, it hasn't been the same for many other missionaries about, you know, churches canceling and having to reschedule. We've been fortunate, you know, in a pandemic to this day right now to raise 85% of our budget.
That's phenomenal. It's only God. That's God.
It's crazy to think about. Yes.
Wow. And that just shows that if you walk in obedience to the Lord, and as you were saying that, you said, you know, this may minister to some folks, and I just think that it is. It's this week. I think a lot of times, you know, Joe, as you were talking, you know, 8 hours after you were approved, the nation shut down, basically, right? You got to know that God was not surprised by that. You know, I can just see God going, oh, wait a minute. How did that happen? Oh, he knew that was going to happen. And he knew that was going to be your story, along with so many others. God was not surprised by COVID. And God is our provider. And and he makes a way where there seems to be no way, the Bible says. So I think the key to that, Joe, is that if you walk in obedience to what the Holy Spirit tells you, you know, reminds me of the story of Jesus where the disciple says, you know, we got to pay taxes. And he says, go down there and catch a fish. and they did, and there was a coin right there in the mouth of the fish, and they went and paid the taxes. God's going to take care, according to his riches and glory, for our needs. If he's called you, Joe, which he has, then he will provide for you the means necessary to get you where you need to go, because his idea of funding for his kingdom is no problem for him, because he owns everything. So he can get his resources to you, and he's shown that. So that's an exciting story, and it's something that I think will encourage the folks that are watching here today, because maybe they're struggling right now to maybe make ends meet. Maybe they're believing God for something that that God's laid on their heart to do, but they can't see how they at all be able to afford it. Maybe not even necessarily finances. Maybe it's some sort of obstacle in their way, whatever it would be, you know. I got to tell you that the Lord, if he puts it on your heart and you put it to prayer and you put legs on those prayers and do what he tells you to do and then don't do what he tells you not to do, you know, I mean, just walk in obedience to it, he's going to take care of it for us. He's just that way, because his heart beats souls. He has a master plan. He's all using us as the body of Christ to do our certain parts, and he's making sure that we're going to be well equipped and well funded and all of that. Not without opposition, not without challenges, but it's going to take place. And the bottom line is that souls will be saved, his kingdom will be expanded, the gospel will go out, and his will is going to be accomplished. Joe, I love that story. And so as you're going to Gambia, you're going to be planting churches there. Is that right? Did I hear you say that right?
Yeah. So we're going to be joining a church planting team with a new initiative from the Africa office called Urban Tribes Church Planting. And it's not planting the church in the rural settings like the model used to be. They've calculated that in the next 20 to 30 years, that nearly 60 to 70% of the population of the continent of Africa will be living in an urbanized setting. And looking at the big hubs like Dar es Salaam and Cape Town, Durban, the capital we're going to be serving in is Banjul in the Gambia. The Africa office wants to make sure that a high impact, vibrant, healthy Pentecostal church is available there when the people get to the city. Sure. So in our case, ours will be the first urban tribes model in West Africa. And our urban tribes church plant will serve as a training ground for pastors and leaders to be trained there and to go out and plant churches among the unreached people groups in the Gambia.
Wow, that sounds so exciting. And I know you're anxious to go and get roll up your sleeves and get going on it. Are you about ready to go? What's your time frame looking like?
Yeah, like I said a little earlier, we're about 85% of our monthly budget done.
Okay.
We're looking realistically to get there by the end of this August.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. We're going to put some contact information about how they can reach out to you. There's some folks maybe that are watching that says, you know what, I want to partner with Joe and his family. And if you want to provide monthly support, reach out to Joe, he can give you that information as to how you might be able to do that. Certainly, if you want to pray for them as well, I know that they would covet your prayers. and maybe even, you know, partner with him and go to Gambia and help him to do some work there on a missions trip. And who knows, you might be called to Gambia as well. The Lord might lay that on your heart and you might end up, you know, staying there. Joe, I'd like for you to pray for the folks that are watching here today. As they're viewing this, and we're going to wind this episode down here today, their time together. I know the Holy Spirit's been speaking through us, actually multiple things that have been talked about here in this particular broadcast with, for example, how the Lord has really maybe brought this for your children, not so much, yes, for you, but also for your children. So there may be some people that are looking at the situation that they're in and saying, I don't know why I'm going through this, why I'm living here, why I'm, you know, at this job and why I feel stuck, but yet they see their kids flourishing and, you know, there's some good things going on. And maybe the Lord just needs to provide these folks some strength and some, maybe some perspective, you know, on why they're there. But also how your story was that you said, you know, I just prayed for these people, prayed for the churches. I didn't try to raise funds. You know, 8 hours after I was approved, the nation shut down and all of that. And, you know, where God makes a way where there doesn't seem to be any way, and walking in obedience to that. So I don't know how the Holy Spirit would lead you to pray, but I really feel like there's some things here that the Lord has been trying to maybe resonate with some people and encourage them in that way. So I'm going to let you lead in prayer for those that are viewing. And then after, I'd like to pray for you and your family as you continue to prepare to go to Gambia. And then we'll close this out. But would you lead us in prayer? And I'd ask everyone that's viewing if you would just bow your heads as Joe leads us in prayer.
Sure. Yes. Thank you so much, Lord, for making this opportunity available for all of us, Lord. I just pray right now, Lord, that if people are watching right now and are having questions about even about their faith and their trust in you, I pray that you would make clear to them your vision and your calling right now in each of their lives, Lord. I spoke earlier about the importance of the calling to our kids, and that our kids are not kids of missionaries. They are missionary kids. Mm. I pray right now that anybody watching right now that has questions about, you know, where they're at in their life and why does what I'm doing matter, and, you know, are my kids being affected by it? I pray right now for just that peace that you're working, Lord, that peace that you're working behind the scenes, that you're working when we don't see it working, when we don't see you working, that you are still working, that you're still calling, that you're still on the throne, Lord. And I pray right now that you'll give perspective and clarity to mothers and fathers that may seem confused about what they're doing, but for some reason see it as beneficial to their kids. I pray for any kids right now watching that. I would just pray that you're never too young to go into ministry, that the example of Timothy in the New Testament just proves that age is not a factor, and that he can call anybody at any age to do anything for his kingdom because he owns everything. He controls everything. I just pray right now for peace and clarity on parents and families, Lord. If they felt that calling to go to missions, that it's not out of reach. My family and myself our story is a perfect example that he does not call qualified people. He qualifies called people, and all he's looking for is a willing vessel to say yes. And I just pray right now that anybody who has ever had the unction to want to go, the urge to want to go into missions, that it's not out of reach, that it's available. If you'll just say yes to that call. I pray right now for just everybody watching that your will be done in their lives, Lord. And I pray right now that as we want to see a more redeemed and transformed Africa, that our viewers would join us to see a more redeemed and transformed world, because we're all called to be on mission. And we just pray right now that you would give us the strength, show us clarity in our calling of what you want us to do, whether it be overseas or across the street at our coworkers' lives at our work, or if it is in a country where we've never been before. Just pray that your will is done and that your voice is heard by all of us. And I pray all this in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, we pray for Joe and Cindy and Matthew and Abigail as they continue to prepare their hearts and raise funds and get themselves ready to go to Gambia. Lord, that you'd provide for them the resources that they need. And Lord God, that they would be able to get to the mission field by the end of August, if that's their target date. And God, as they go, that they would, as a family, as a team, go there, and that you'd give them favor. God, that you'd provide for them connections with people, the resources of strategic people there, and give them favor in that community, help them to find the places that they need to find, the workers that they need to find, and let souls be saved for your kingdom. Let the gospel of Jesus Christ be just explode in Gambia through Joe and Cindy and Matthew and Abigail and all those that are there as part of that venture to plant a church and to let that be a hub, let that be a beachhead, Lord God, for yes. For expanding and for proclaiming the gospel in yes. in the north. West part, the southwest, the central part, the western part of Africa. And we thank you, Lord God, for watching over them and taking care of them. And we pray these things, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Joe, thank you for joining with us today and for sharing your heart, for sharing some stories. Very encouraging. And I'm here to tell you as you're watching here today, God's no respecter of persons. What he did for Joe, he'll do for you. And so open up your heart and ask the Lord to put a burden in your heart for your local community and what it is that God's called for you to do there. Trust him with the provision needed that you need to make that happen. And then just help. Ask the Lord to give you his perspective on where you are and what that looks like. And just let's all just link our arms together for the kingdom of God and doing for him what he's called us to do until he returns. Joe, thank you again for being with us. And thank you all for tuning in. And we'll see you the next time on The Harvest. God bless you.